meeting yesterday, and just great reports of Muslims coming to Christ in Phoenix, Arizona, supernaturally. One of our pastors is Pastor Zon, and he is just a lovely man from Miramar. I don't know if it's Miramese. I don't know how to. He's a Miramarian, but he's from Miramar. We have here Miramar Christian Center on campus here. We have they'll be celebrating their second year anniversary this coming month, and so. Anyways, he was talking about witnessing because his country is mostly Buddhist, and he was witnessing to someone in town. And the lady said, I'm a Buddhist. My family's a Buddhist. I was born a Buddhist. I'm going to die a Buddhist. You know, but my hand's killing me. The only way I would serve Jesus if Jesus healed the aching pain that's in my wrist. Without even stopping for a minute, Pastor Zon grabbed her wrist and said, in Jesus' name be healed. And when he let go, she started moving. She started jumping up and down. The pain's gone. The pain's gone. The pain's gone. Okay, I'm ready for Jesus. So that was, that just happened. Right here in Phoenix, Arizona, people from Miramar are being saved, people from Nepal, and just awesome stuff's happening. And one of the exciting things, the honor we have tonight is for several years, I've had the privilege of being associated and having a great friendship with Dr. Jay Threadgill, who's the senior pastor and apostolic leader of Church in Iraq, Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Church in Iraq, Port-au-Prince, Haiti is the largest, it's the largest building, I think, in all of Port-au-Prince. Their auditorium seats 5,000 people. They've started 126 churches or more than that. They feed 3,000 babies a day, 3,000 kids a day. Out of the top five churches in the country, four of them have come out of Dr. J's church. He's really the apostolic voice to his country. The government's afraid of him. The devil's running from him. Heaven's using him to transform a broken people. And tonight we have the outstanding privilege, and he has a word from God for us for this year. So just get ready to receive from God. Would you stand on your feet and welcome my dear friend, Dr. Jay Threadgill from Port-au-Prince, Haiti.
Woo! Good evening. Amen. Great to be here with you. It's always great for me to be with Dr. Mike and Pastor Mary, and I date back farther than he remembers. I came into Dr. Mike's life as he was beginning his testimony. That's how far back that goes. I preached in the hangar first time I met you. Yeah, I sure did, and you were still playing the grand piano all the time. Yeah, and prophesying off of it. And so I date back, but I would be here just to hang out, but I got the opportunity to bring the word tonight. I just like to kind of hang out with him and let some of that prophetic jump on me. You know what I mean? One thing I learned about Dr. Mike many years ago is if he speaks a word over you, just stick it in the bank. It's happening. Now, I can't tell you when some of the times, but it's happening. And so I have stuck some of those words in the bank, and they have come to pass. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, but it's an honor and a privilege to be here with you. I do have a word that the Lord birthed in my heart. I'm going to talk just a second about Haiti. I got like a 3-minute Haitian video that my IT people did. And as I sat on the front row and looked at this wonderful platform that God has blessed you with, I said, I'm going to dig around in their storerooms and get their junk. Take it back to Haiti. I'm going to go on a hunt because they got stuff in the closet they're not even using. Praise God. I'm just teasing. I'm messing with you a little bit. This is beautiful. And so I was on my way out, and I looked at my IT guy. This is my Haitian IT guy. We're on national television with one camera. This is Haiti, you know. I'm bringing to you a third world anointing, praise God. But I said, I need pictures. And everybody always wants pictures. So they kind of threw it together, and it's not anywhere near the production we have here in the United States. But I'll go ahead and get Dennis. Let's roll it, Dennis. He said, little short one. Okay. there you go. Haiti Productions. And they literally just did that the day before I left, so God bless them. Amen. Hallelujah. That crusade they pictured there, we just got out of, and it was between 40 and 50,000 a night. It's a very dynamic time, especially for Haiti, to draw those crowds right in the middle of Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras in Haiti makes Mardi Gras in New Orleans look passive. You think that's sin, come on down to our neck of the woods. And all kind of violence and difficult times. And I don't really want to get into what the devil's doing. I want to get into what God's doing. And so it's an alternative, and many people come. Hundreds and hundreds were born again. I never did get the total final count. I think they're still doing all the follow-up. I mean, it was just a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago. And deliverances, healings, God's good. God came, and he gets all the glory. Praise the Lord. Haiti was a mandate from God from my wife and I. In 1986, he spoke to my heart and then kindly spoke to her heart because she's the big boss. But he said, I want you to go to the nation of Haiti, and I want you to take it for Jesus. Now, there's a lot of great ministries in Haiti, and I don't ever want anyone to think that we don't have some help down there. But that was the mandate. I want you to go to this nation and take it for Jesus. Now, you have to understand, in 1986, there was no internet and there was no anything. And so I had to go to the World Book Encyclopedia to understand Haiti. And I didn't even really know exactly where it was. I knew it was in the Caribbean somewhere. And so I saw that little bitty nation. I said, well, that's no problem. We'll do that in a couple years. 30 years. We'll do that in a couple years. Then we'll go do something serious like take the continent of Africa for Jesus. And that was what, I mean, I had that kind of zeal and that kind of fire, and I thought, surely we can do this. And nobody told me, you didn't have Google search or anything, and so nobody told me it was the devil's seat of the Caribbean at the time, and that it was seeped in voodoo worship and black magic. Now, that's been pretty well destroyed and beat up, and the numbers are not anywhere even worth talking about anymore. And so we are taking the nation. Linda and I had no understanding what that would look like or how we would accomplish that. We had no money. We had no resource. We just had a word from God. And so all of you destiny world changers that are in this room, sometimes you just have to go on the word of God. Doesn't mean he's going to have everything sitting there ready for you. I had read a number of books and we actually went to a missions training school, and the book said you got to have this much for a family of this many, and you got to have this much to be able to produce ministry while you're there. But God had given us a date to leave, and I wasn't anywhere close to those totals. And I said to God, I read those books and they said I got to have this much to go, and I'm not anywhere close to those totals. And God said, I didn't write those books. He said, I wrote one book. And so we went by faith. And, you know, we started with nothing, and God's done great things. And now looking back 30 years, as Dr. Mike has already alluded to, we have hundreds of sons and daughters that have taken their place in ministry, churches all over the island, 4 different Bible schools that are not only recognized in the nation of Haiti but accredited here in the United States. We have 24 academic schools. That's where we feed the 3,500 kids a day, praise God. And we feed them and educate them. And then, of course, the jewel in my wife's crown is she birthed a private school there in the nation of Haiti that's got dual accreditation. And I know that doesn't mean much, but that's really a big deal here in the United States. And it's in the top tier of all the schools in the nation. And so this school sends kids here to higher level learning, and they get their bachelor's and master's and do all that. Then hopefully a good percentage of them have come back to help continue to change a nation for the glory of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we've been doing and what's been occupying us for this last few years. And anyhow, every year at the turn of the year, I draw away for a minimum of about 3 days. That's about the extent of my fasting, but, you know, you can tell. I mean, you know, God's okay with it so far. He hasn't demanded much more, but I always draw away because I want to catch the word of the coming year in my spirit, And of course, in our New Year's, we do this huge New Year's Eve event. Starts at about 8 in the evening, and we finish out at about 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. It is one of the most magnificent, dynamic times that if you ever got nothing else to do on New Year's, come on down, it'll blow your mind. I mean, it blows my mind, and I birth it, and I just sit there in awe. Because about 10 or 12 or 15,000 people will show up, try to cram into a building that seats 5,000, and then they're all out in the courtyard and everything else, and it's just a lot of worship, a lot of prayer, a lot of praise, a little word, a little Holy Communion, but God comes every time. I mean, he just is there so dynamically, and then we finish out with just huge celebration for the Lord entering into the year. A lot of prophetic words, a lot of stuff spoken. Well, this year I drew away, and God gave me a very specific word, and when he gave it to me, he said, this word is not only for your congregation, but every house that opens their door to you this year, this is a word for them. So I by faith and by the word of the Lord, know that this word is just as much for you as it was for us. And I got a little different anointing than Dr. Mike. And so if I get kind of wound up, don't be offended, all right? I mean, I'm here with a third world anointing. I'm not here with an American anointing. And it's a whole lot different, you know. You are the Wednesday night crowd. You are the hungrier of the hungriest. Sunday guys are hungry. You're the hungry. All right, you're the double times hungry, two times hungry. And so God's going to feed you tonight. One thing he said to me in prayer, and I jotted it down on my tablet, he said, tonight, you will not leave this building the same way you came in. That's what God said. I'm not saying it. He said it. And so that's his job to take care of. He said, tonight, every hindrance, every closed door, every wall, every mountain shall be removed this night, and you will have an open door. And the word that the Lord gave to me was that the year 2016 is a year of open door. And open door is a good thing, praise God. And what an open door does is it brings you into your next level of destiny. It brings you into the next level of the glory of the Lord. It brings you into the next level of the presence of God. It brings you into the next level of the blessing of the Lord. It brings you into the next level that God is releasing you to so that you can fulfill the destiny and call that he has on your life, praise God. And so this is a year of open door. I understood it for me because we had kind of plateaued out for a little while. And that happens in church stuff. I mean, you kind of hit these plateaus and you're kind of waiting on God to do something fresh and new and breakthrough. And as soon as that word came forth, and then we've been capitalizing on it since the turn of the year, we've had nothing but breakthrough. Church is growing. The balconies are full. Like you saw, things are happening. We're going. We started a Sunday night service. We're thinking about a third morning service. And so, you know, things are just happening and we're growing very quickly. And that's a relief to me, because what I do apostolically is when we get leaders raised up, we'll look for a region to plant them, and then we'll tell whoever wants to go with them. And sometimes like 500 people go, and so you got to fill that all back up. You know, I'd be like 20,000 now if I hadn't planted 100 and something churches, you know. And so, but that's all good. I'm just reaping the harvest of it all. You got to plant your best to get the best. I think the pastor alluded to that financially, but it works for everything. You plant your best, you get the best. And so that's what we're experiencing. So this is a year of open door. Everybody say open door. That's a year of an open door, and this is a breakthrough night. This is God's word, not mine. You will not leave here the same way you walked in. So open your heart and listen with spiritual ears and receive it in your spirit. He spoke to me out of two texts that talk about an open door in the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and chapter 4. And I'm going to read them quick, and then we're going to preach away. It says in chapter 3, verse 7, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Verse 8, I know your works. I see I have set before you an open door. Say open door. And no one can shut it. That's key. He set before you, this is a year of open door, and no one, not a zero, can shut that door, all right? All right. Even in our own selves, we can't shut it. Praise God. So this is an open door that no one can shut. He goes on to say, for you have little strength, and you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell in the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. Then he talked to me again from the book of Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open. Say, open door. And the voice that which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after this. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one who sat on the throne. Open door is the next dimension of destiny. Open door is the next level of God's presence. Open door is the next level of God's glory. Open doors is the next level of signs, wonders, and miracles, not only in you, but through you, praise God. We are vessels of signs, wonders, and miracles, praise God. Somebody say amen. Need a miracle, go pray for somebody. That's what I always say. Hallelujah. Go lay your hands on someone. Go do something, and that will open the door even wider for your miracle. It's the next level of signs and wonders, the next level of resource. It's the next level of everything you need to continue to move in the destiny that's on your life. Now, I know this man preaches at destiny. And so every person under the sound of my voice has a divine plan and purpose of God for your life. If you don't know it, you need to ask him, because he's not one to withhold it as a secret. Every person in this room has a divine plan and purpose of God for your life. Now, you may not be called to Haiti, and most of you can go, phew, thank God. But in the same sense, you've got something very important to do for God. And you need to know what that is. He'll not tell it all of it to you. He showed me 2 years. If he'd have showed me 30 years, 31 years ago, I might not have been so intense on going. All right? And so he'll show you step A and B, but sometimes he can't show you element OP. So don't ask him for it all. Just go by faith. All right. And so before I get to the meat of this message, there's some keys in those scriptures I just want to tap on. And this is, I'm mixing up about four services of messages here in one. First is the key of David in that open door. Key of David to me always denotes prayer and worship. You've already got it in this church. It's your DNA. It's our DNA. It's a different style of worship, but you come to Haiti, you will see passionate worship just like you have here in this church. You will see passionate prayer. We have early morning prayer meetings. It's gone down since we had to move our sanctuary after the earthquake a little bit because we're harder to get to now. But it's about 1,000 in the morning will come and pray an hour with us from 6 to 7. Now we've got prayer at 12 to 1. We get several hundred for that, and then we're going to start up probably a 5 to 6 prayer following the model of Daniel, that he prayed 3 times daily. All right, and so we're stepping into it, and that's just another key that God has given us. But the key of David denotes to me prayer and worship. In verse 8, he says, I know your works. Now, as I've already stated, I believe every person here needs to be working for Jesus somewhere. Now, it doesn't just mean, and it's always good to serve in the local church, but some of you are school teachers, or you might be medical, or you might be whatever profession you are. Dr. Mike does a great job on the 7 mountains. You need to be a beacon of light no matter where you are in the sphere of influence that God has given you. All right? God has given each and one of us a sphere of influence. Some of us have larger ones, but every person in this room has a sphere of influence, and you have to be a voice of truth and a beacon of light to those in your sphere of influence. Very important. It's part of your race. Listen, when I get to heaven, I want to get well done. I don't want to get glad you made it. You know, I mean, I want to see the gleam in his eyes, and I want to see the smile on his face, and I want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You did what I asked you to do. I don't want to get there and him wipe the sweat from his brow and glad you're here. You know, come on, let's be real. I mean, we've got a job to do, and we need to do the job that he's given us to do. Somebody say amen. You're all nation changers, world changers. You're just supposed to start changing the world you live in right now. Wherever you are, that's what you need to start changing. And you know what? The unique thing about God is, don't worry about making mistakes. I got a doctorate in mistakes. I can write books on mistakes. And the unique thing I found about God is, he'll go ahead and take care of the mistake and keep pushing you forward if you're willing, praise God. Everybody gets all nervous. I don't want to miss God. Just go ahead and miss him. He'll find you. It's not a big deal. He already knew you were going to miss it when you missed it. He the Alpha and the Omega. He's way ahead of you. I always had this expression, and I'll just go ahead and throw it out as a rabbit trail. If you keep your heart pure, God's already made provision for your error. If you keep your heart pure, God has already made provision for your error. Don't ever be afraid of making a mistake. You'll get corrected. Trust me. Trust me. He's really good at that. Praise the Lord. All right, so he knows your works. You've kept his word. I'm going to go ahead and believe that you're Bible-keeping, walking, transforming people by the word of God, okay? Praise God. Keep his word. You've not denied his name. It's always good not to do that. All right? Just go ahead and speak Jesus everywhere you go, and those that like it will like it. I was just at the dry clean the other day, went to get my shirts. Little lady said, oh, where are you from? And I said, I'm from Florida. I didn't tell her Haiti. I didn't even get into that part of the story. She said, what are you doing way over here? Well, I got some speaking engagements. What are you speaking on? I'm speaking on Jesus. You a Christian? And before we were done, we were having countertop revival. I mean, just go ahead and be a beacon to everyone you see. Praise God. And, don't hold back. Don't deny it. Just go ahead and spit it out there. It's okay. Most of the time, they'll receive you. She did. Amen. He says, you've not denied his name and you've persevered. Stand fast till the end. Perseverance is a unique quality we all need to learn how to possess. I always tell many, many people, including my own church, people don't gather to me because I'm so good looking. People don't gather to me because I'm charismatic. People gather unto us because we persevere till God comes. Perseverance is one of the most unique characteristics you need to develop, because when you have a destiny, you're going to be challenged over and over in your destiny. If you'll just persevere, you will always have the breakthrough. If you persevere, you will always have the breakthrough. And then he says, through all this, you will have divine protection of the judgments that are coming on the world. Now, I don't know if you're a rocket scientist or not, but it's not hard to tell that God's judging stuff right now. We're in an election year. I believe in the election, a political process, an election, but only God can save the United States. I believe we need to pray and vote for what's right in our conscience. That's important, but I'm here to assure you it's not a Democrat or a Republican that will change the United States. It's the kingdom of God. And so we can't get all hung up on that. We need to just pray, vote, and keep praying. The unique thing is I found that a lot of the church stopped praying for our current president. Can't stop praying just because you don't agree. All right, enough of that. Someone say, preach on. Then he went to chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, and he said, look, and I looked, and behold, there was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things that must take place. And immediately I was in the Spirit. In this passage, the Apostle John is worshiping God, speaking to God. God's talking to him. I understand it, because when I get alone, I just have my scriptures in my lap, and God begins to talk to me through scriptures and in my heart as I continue to pray and stay in his presence. I think that's exactly what the Apostle John was doing at that time. And he saw the open door, and then a voice came like a trumpet. And he said, come up here. Where's the open door? Up here. You see, the open door is not in the natural. The open door is in the supernatural. Now, you got to understand this. We got to stop living in the natural all the time. You got to learn how to live in the supernatural. Trust me, come to Haiti for several months and I'll teach you. There you learn to walk on the water. I walk on the water more than I walk on the dry land. Many times I've almost gone under, but he's always extended his hand to me and brought me back up. You got to learn how to live in the supernatural. You say, well, how do you do that? It's really not all that hard. Let me explain it to you. He says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the desires of your flesh. How do you walk in the Spirit? Just get up every morning talking to God. Start your day. I often tell Christians wherever I'm preaching, it would scare me to death not to open my day in prayer. I mean, I live in a radical country. There's gunfire and there's stuff. But oh, yeah, I forgot. You're in Phoenix. You got it too. I mean, there's gunfire. There's all kind of craziness that goes on. And so, you know, I'm just a normal person, basically, that God has used. And, I get up in the morning. About the time my feet hit the floor, I'm talking to Jesus. Now, I get up very early. It's just the way I am. I don't mind if you're a late-night person. My wife is a late-night person. She likes to pray late. But I go to bed earlier and get up very early. Well, I'm a hot mess that early. And at my age, I'm making a beeline for the bathroom. And as I'm going to the bathroom, I'm talking to Jesus already. I mean, if you're going to get up, you might as well not grumble. Get up and talk to Jesus. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for this day. I thank you that you're with me. You'll never leave me or forsake me. Everywhere I go, you're going to go. Hallelujah. Please help me fix this hair. Amen. And let's keep going. But I'm talking to Jesus before I even get to prayer. Then I go to my office and pray, and then I go to the service of prayer. And then I start my day. That's really a good way to be in the Spirit. And it says, if you'll seek the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the desires of your flesh. Another scripture says, those who live according to the flesh put their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit put their passion, their minds, their heart on the things of the Spirit. Just put your heart on the things of the Spirit and you will begin to walk in the realm of the Spirit. It's not difficult. You don't have to pray for 17 hours a day to be in the Holy Ghost Spirit. Just be, I walk around, talk to him all the time. I mean, I'm just talking to him all the time. I'd be walking in the campus of the school, talking to myself, and some student will say, are you talking to me, Pastor? I said, no, be quiet, I'm talking to God. Leave me alone right now. It's all right, I'm not talking to you and I'm not crazy. Talking to God. You can just talk to him. You know, I mean, there's some real holy times where you got to get really, really, really spiritual kind of right, you know. But there's other times you can just talk to him. You'd be surprised how much he'll talk back. He'll talk back. You got to get sensitive to it. You got to be able to hear him. But if you'll just set your passion and your affection on the things of the Spirit, you'll enter into a greater dimension of the supernatural where the open door is. It's what will protect you, praise God. And so, to walk through that door, we got to walk in the Spirit. And when we walk through that door is that potential of realizing our total destiny, praise God. To realize your total, full potential of destiny, you must set your affections on the Spirit. You can tell I'm reading it right now. Hallelujah. It's there where you realize his blessing. It's there where you realize his glory. It's there where you realize his power. It's there where you realize his healing. It's there where you realize provision. It's there where you realize destiny. That's where it is. And he said, come up here and I want to show you some things. Every man and woman in the scriptures, all the great stories that we know, all started with an open door. And some of them had multiple open doors. I believe that it's not just one open door that you may get in a lifetime. I believe you'll get several. But this is a great opportunity for the open. Abraham had the call. His open door was to leave Egypt and to follow him to a place he did not know. That was Abraham's open door. Moses had to call to deliver the nation of Israel. That was his open door. God opened the door for Moses to bring deliverance to the nation of Israel. Noah had an open door, a call to build an ark. And for 100-something years, he built an ark being persecuted and everything else. But then one day he got to shut that door. Y'all listening to me? Joseph had an open door. He had a dream. Now, we all know that Joseph had a great plight during that time of a dream. Here's what I always tell everybody. Don't tell your dreams to non-dreamers. That's like casting your pearl before the swine. You tell your dream to me and some of these pastoral staff, I don't care what it is. I got kids come up to me and say, I'm dreaming I'm going to be in the NBA. Well, every kid dreams that he's going to be in the NBA. That's great. Go for it. Because somewhere in that process, God's going to take you to that intersection where he needed you to get. And so there is no dream too small for God. And who knows, they might be in the NBA. King David had an open door, and it was Goliath. He had started out his open door with a giant. But whoever, what do you remember first whenever anyone talks about King David? It's Goliath. That was the open door. Hallelujah. Jesus himself had an open door to become the Savior of the world. Peter on the day of Pentecost had an open door. Paul on the road of Damascus had an open door. Paul and Silas in the prison, in the deep dark prison, beaten half to death, naked, had an open door because they began to worship God. Y'all listen to me? So as you look at every single story throughout the Bible, you can recognize an open door. And what God wants you to understand is there's an open door for you tonight. And you got, and he said, whoever receives it will walk through it. But now you got to check your heart. If you can sit there and go, yawn, this is boring, you're not going to have an open door. All right, you got to receive it. Hallelujah. And so anyhow, what you have to understand is you've got an open door, but let me tell you this too, and this is from experience, the enemy not going to lay over just because you got an open door. You have to remember certain aspects of your walk with Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, you wrestle not against flesh and blood. Your problem is not your neighbor. Your problem is not Uncle Tom. Your problem is not Aunt Em. Your problem is a devil operating somewhere in there. You do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's the battle. And when things are not going good, don't blame the people. Seek the war. I mean, go after what you got to fight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Matthew 11 said this. Jesus said it since the days of John the Baptist until now. Until when? Now. In Bible school, they call that present progressive, which what that simply means is it's now and it always is. It's now and it always is. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent will take it by force. We just went through that crusade, and the first night didn't start out the way I liked it, and I was kind of complaining to God. Had some sound difficulties. I was a little bit cranky because the sound wasn't working right, and I went back and started praying, and God reminded me. He says, son, you're in a war. Don't get mad at the sound guy. He did make a mistake. He did mess up, but that's not your problem. It's a war in the spirit. You know, we've done these crusades for like 20 years, and it's like we pray over it, and we bathe it, and we get it ready, but sometimes you tend to forget this might be a struggle. So even sometimes when you're doing something you're used to being doing, it can still be a war in the midst of it. It's time that we become the violent ones. Now we're not talking about a physical violence. You understand that. It's a spiritual violence. God sometimes wants us to be spiritually violent. You can be spiritually violent in your worship. You can be spiritually violent in your prayer. You can be spiritually violent by speaking to the mountain. This is where sometimes we're upside down, and I know the sovereignty of God, but God didn't say, ask me to move the mountain. That's not in the scripture anywhere. He says, you speak to the mountain. You speak to the mountain. So if you're praying, God, move the mountain, God's up there going, yo, you better read the word a little more. All right? Y'all listen to me? The Bible, we know this scripture very well. Jesus said in the book of John, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but yet I have come to give you life. Now, life is not, I'm breathing today. Life is life. Abundant, victorious life. That's what Jesus came to give us. Are y'all listening to me? But the enemy has a strategy. He wants to kill, steal, or destroy. By God's grace, he can't take us out until God wants him to. He can't take us out anyhow. God will. When it's time for me to go, I'll go. That part I understand. And I'm not planning on going anywhere anytime soon. I tell my church I'm going to have armor bearers holding me up by the belt straps, and I'm going to be talking to them about 92. You got to fight the battle. That's what I'm going to do. That's for any of them young bucks that think they're going to take over my church. No, it's not happening till I'm ready. But the strategy, the enemy changes. You see, before you were born again, you were going to hell. He's pretty happy. Well, then you got born again. Now you're going to heaven. So he had to change his strategy. Now he can't send you to hell, so he's got to stop you from being of any effect. That's the strategy of the devil against every Christian. Make them of no effect. So if I kill, steal, and destroy their stuff, then they'll be depressed, and then they won't get anything done. But Jesus came to give us life and give it to us abundantly. I like this scripture, and I'm just kind of getting warmed up, but we will finish on time, maybe. Maybe not. I like this one. This is so cool if you read it right. Luke 10, 19, and 20. I give you authorities. Everyone say authority. Now, I don't like the translations that use power. I believe that Greek word is authority. He says, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus has given us delegated authority. Let me use a third world example of delegated authority. We got these mega buses that go from the north side of the country to the south side of the country at 100 miles an hour, laying on the horn. And they're just, and when I'm on the road, I just kind of scoot over and sit. Because, I mean, they're crazy. But then they come up to what we have many of in Haiti, and that's police checkpoints. And they come up to a police checkpoint, and that police officer walks out and puts his hand up, and that bus going 100 miles an hour screeches to a stop. Now, that man did not have the power to stop it. He had the authority to stop it. Are y'all listening to me? Jesus said, I give you authority to trample upon scorpions and serpents. You see, we don't have the power, we have the authority. It's a delegation. It's the Christ in you, the hope of glory, praise God. When you speak to the mountain, it's not you that's speaking, it's Christ in you that's speaking. When you muster up prophetic apostolic declarations and begin to speak them over your house, speak them over your finance, speak it over your family, it's not you that's talking, it's the Christ that's in you that begins to talk. I mean, it's wonderful at many times to just stay at his feet, and that's great, and I love it. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes you got to stand up and fight, too. I love those moments, those intimate moments with God. Those are equally as important. But sometimes you got to get up and speak to the four corners of the earth and just go ahead and tell them that's enough of this with some unction in you, praise God. Enemy wants to destroy you, but through you, God will release his power. You're releasing an authority, but through that authority, he releases his power. And he destroys the attacks of the enemy. If God be for you, who can be against you? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If you're new to the camp, that means greater is the Jesus in you than the devil that's in the world. All right? Greater is he. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loved you. More, not just. You know what more than a conqueror is? You ever seen a boxing match where the boxer goes out and boxes? But he trains and trains and trains and trains and trains and trains, and he goes out and boxes, and then you get the Rocky song, and he's got the check, and he's got the belt, bum, ba, ba, bum, ba, ba, bum, ba, ba, ba. And then he goes home, and he's happy, and he hands his wife the check. The wife is more than a conqueror. She didn't do nothing. She just got the check. Well, guess what? You didn't do anything either. You just got the check. You got the check handed to you through Jesus Christ, praise God. Yeah. More than conquerors. Open door. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Your eyes are not too bad. Get some of those places you got to yell at them to talk. All right. Through this, as God is speaking to me, he brought me to a scripture. He's reminding me, open door. I got an open door, got a crusade, got an attack, got everything going on. He's saying, you're in the war, fight the battle. And then he takes me to a scripture. And in this scripture was a scripture about, and I'll talk the story first, is the prophet Elijah. I love Elijah. I like Elisha too, but I love Elijah. And so Elijah had been working with an open door throughout his life. I mean, he's raised the dead. He's called fire down from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. He's had to deal with a Jezebel. He miraculously fills bottles of oil in a drought. He prophetically speaking over nations and kings and everybody else. I mean, that's pretty powerful. Hadn't had the chance to speak over any kings yet. Matter of fact, we're not even on talking terms right now. Some of the government there don't really like me. I was telling Pastor, they send their feds, their feds, and they stand at the back doors in their governmental suits with their arms crossed, wondering, how did this fat white guy get so much influence in our nation? That's exactly what they're thinking. And I've got a lot of influence. And so, and I influence for Christ. And I don't call names, but we'll talk about corruption. We'll talk about demonic strongholds in a nation. And we'll talk about prayer and bringing it down. And then we're on TV and everybody's hearing it. And they send people to watch me. I'm careful. I want to be their friends. So I told Dr. Mike, I said, I think one of these days when I see him back there, I'm just going to tell the whole congregation, turn around and extend your hands at our brothers at the back door and let's pray over them right now. Why not? What could go wrong? So Elijah's being used mightily in his lifetime. These are open doors after open doors to speak. But just before he anoints Elisha to mentor him to take his place, God's got one more strong move for him. Israel has now turned back to idols. King, I never pronounce the names right, A-H-A-Z-I-A-H. That guy, he's serving idols. Here's the deal. Whatever's on the head is on the body. That's why you're a worshiping prophetic church. Whatever's on your head comes on the body. but it goes nationally too. This is why we must pray for our president. And I'm anxious to see what God's going to do in the next few months. I want him to do something very great. But if it falls to a way that I'm not too happy in the natural, I know I got to still pray for him. And when the church suspends praying for the president, then wickedness takes over. But if the church will continue to pray for their president, then wickedness is at least being held off to a dimension. All right. That's good enough. So God is about ready. Elijah's about ready to anoint Elisha. But God's got one more great move. Now, this is pretty powerful because he's going to go prophesy to the king. Well, the king had fallen down and was injured, and he was on his deathbed. So he sent a group of messengers to go pray to Baal-zebub. Baal-zebub means Lord of the Flies. How many want to pray to that? It's ridiculous. But he sends a whole delegation, go pray to Baal-zebub so I can be healed. Well, at the same time, God is giving Elijah a word of knowledge that this messenger, this congregation of people are going to go pray for the king to the idol, go down there and prophesy over it. So Elijah hears the word of the Lord. Now, you have to understand something. It was no easier or no harder for Elijah to hear the word of the Lord than it is for you or me. God didn't show up in bodily form and said, dude, this is what I want you to do. He heard it in his spirit just like everyone hears God. So don't think that, he was a superstar and he was mature and he did have a sensitivity to the spirit. But here's what I'm saying. The point I'm making is so can you. Come on now. Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching good. Ahazi or whatever his name is serving idols. The real clue here is don't ever serve an idol. Now an idol is anything that prioritizes itself above God. It doesn't have to be a statue. Anything that becomes more important to your life than God, that's an idol. When I pray, I very rarely go like many Christians. We're talking about the other churches right now. I know you're taught better than this. But when I pray, I don't go to God with grocery lists. I need. Amen. Goodbye. I pray for others. I pray for the ministries. I pray for the move of God. I pray for outpourings. And I found that in the long run, God just takes care of me. Just some keys. I got 30-something years experience. You guys got to listen to me a little bit. So anyhow, Elijah meets the congregation on the road going to pray to the Lord of the Flies. And he prophesies over him, says, you don't have to go pray to this guy. I prophesy the king's going to die. Now, that's pretty intense. What do you think if God spoke to Dr. Mike and said, go see the president and tell him he's going to die? You'd be going, maybe. Couldn't you find somebody else? Well, you got to read these stories this way. So the delegation goes back to the king and said, we met this. He goes, did you go pray to the Lord of the Flies? They went, no, we didn't get there. This guy met us on the road and told us to come back and tell you, you're going to die. And the king says, was he a hairy guy? In Haiti, they say, is it the pastor with the long hair? They said, yeah, that's him. And they said, oh, that's Elijah. He said, now, I want to get my, he calls a captain in and says, take 50 men, go arrest that man. And so now he's prophesied what God told him to, and they're coming to arrest him. Now, I'm sure in that time frame, being arrested was not video prison like today. And so the captain of 50 and the 50 show up, and it says there in verse 9 and 10, it says, Elijah was sitting up on the top of a hill, and the captain called out to him. He said, man of God, come down here right now. Now, this is what I like about Elijah's response, and this is the part that you got to get. Elijah says, if I'm a man of God, how many men and women of God we got in the house? If I'm a man of God, I think if someone was sitting next to him, he would have gone, did he just say, if I'm a man of God? He said, if I'm a man of God, I call fire down from heaven and consume you. And it happened. Now, here's the point that God wants you to hear. When you got an open door and the devil comes to challenge you in your open door, God wants you to call some fire down. Now, come on, you got to call the fire down. the fire. When God says call the fire down, you call the fire down and it consumes the enemies. Well, this gets the king very angry. Finds out his first 50 are fried. Calls another 50 and another captain, another 50, said, go get that man. Second guy wasn't quite as congenial as the first guy. Sent to him the other captain in the 50, and he said, man of God, that king says, come down here quickly. Elijah responds, if I be a man of God. Now here's where this breakthrough is going to happen. Right here tonight. God said that we're going to call fire down on every hindrance in your life, and you're going to access the open door starting tonight. You're going to see battles that have been in your life that you have been praying through, and God is going to bring a deliverance tonight, and you're going to have testimony to come back in this house and say, you'll never believe what God did in the week after I spoke. I am assured of this. And so, you see, when you're pursuing the open door, the enemy will always try to come and arrest you. He'll always try to stop you. He'll try to put you in bondage. When the enemy comes against you, you've got to answer with fire. Somebody say fire. When sickness comes, you answer with fire. When financial difficulty hits, you answer with fire. When stress comes against you, you answer with fire. When your marriage seems to be breaking apart, you need to answer with fire. When your teenage kids are running wild in the streets, you need to answer with fire. Somebody say fire.
Fire.
So now comes the second king. Now let me clue you in this. The enemy always comes with a counterattack, even though you get a victory in the first attack. He never stops with just one. I'm telling you, I got a lot of experience in this. He'll never just stop with one. He wants to make sure, do you really believe what you're talking about? And so here comes the second 50. If I be a man of God, I call fire down from heaven. God spoke to my heart. He says, you've got the fire. And he wants me to speak to your heart today. Every person in this room has the fire of God down in their spirit. And if you speak to the mountain, if you speak to the wall, if you speak to the hindrance, if you speak to that which is blocking you and say, I call fire down upon you, it will be consumed. Because it's not your fire and it's not you speaking. It's God's fire and it's the Christ in you that's speaking through you. But you got to believe it. Can't tap dance with it. Man, that didn't work. Yeah, okay. Old man and woman of faith, you got to go after it. You got to draw down deep. Sends the third captain. Third captain's got a revelation. Gets to the hill and he bows his knee and said, oh man of God, please have mercy upon your servant and my 50. God spoke to him and said, you can go talk to the you can go with him and talk to the king. See, when you speak with fire, when you call for the fire, when you release the fire, the devil will bow his knee. That which was sent to arrest you will surrender to you. That which was sent to hinder you will abandon their assignment because of the fire that you're bringing. And the fire that God is sending through you. When you serve God, listen, you're of a whole different nationality. You are a citizen of heaven. You are a child of God. You're a member of his house. Now, I'm sure I'm speaking to some mamas and papas in here. And bless God, there might be some stuff going on around my family, but you mess with mine, and we're going to war. Well, don't you think God gave us that? Don't you think God's ready to go to war when the devil starts messing with you? But he needs someone to stand up and believe him. He needs someone to stand up and say, no, that's enough. It's over. If I'm a man of God, if I'm a woman of God, I call fire down from you. You guys got some fire songs? Get ready because we're calling it down. Every obstacle, every hindrance, every mountain, everything the enemy has placed with you is going to be consumed right now. Say fire.
Fire.
With authority, speak fire.
Fire.
With determination, declare fire.
Fire.
Now lift your hands. Father God, I decree and declare apostolically over this house that every hindrance, every obstacle, every thwart of the enemy that has come against my brothers and sisters are to be brought down right now. Now, I want you to take the image of your number one problem you got today. Take that image in your heart. Look at it square in the eyes. And I want every person in this house to say, fire! 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 Now receive the deliverance. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. Receive it in the name of Jesus. If you're not sure, say fire! 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 Yes. Now receive, 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 receive. God in heaven, I thank you that you'll confirm your word. It's your word, God, not mine. And I thank you that there'll be great testimonies coming into the house of God this week. I thank you that you're removing every hindrance. You are bringing deliverance. You are bringing restoration to my brothers and sisters in this very moment, this very hour. In the name of... No, you don't get it. In the name of... In the name of... Come on, let's give a hand clap to the Lord. Dr. Mike.
Thank you, Dr. J. Come on, thank Dr. J, everybody, for listening to the word. Come on, someone shout fire! Listen, before you run off, we want to give you a chance. We want to bless Dr. J and bless Haiti. And the thing he has, you know, thousands and thousands of people, and their income is so small that Dr. J travels to raise money for his church. So this offering will go to support the great work of God in Haiti. So just believe big. And there's something to what Dr. J said, because he shared the word with us in our staff meeting yesterday. I believe that part of the open doors that we receive by faith, that let's sow into Dr. J's year of open door, and believe that we're going to participate ourselves. Amen. As God leads you, as the Holy Spirit directs you, as you're able to give, prepare a love offering. We're going to give this to Dr. J in just a minute. Everybody do something and do what God leads you to do. Amen. This is the year of the open door.
This is the year of the open door.
This is the year of the favor of the Lord.
This is the year of the favor of the Lord.
We will sing and celebrate.
We will sing and celebrate.
Our God is good. Our God is great.
Our God is good. Our God is great.
This is the year of the open door.
This is the year of the open door.
The year of the favor of our Lord.
The year of the favor of our Lord. We will sing and celebrate.
Our God is good, our God is great.
Our God is good, our God is great.
This is the year of the open door.
This is the year of the open door.
The year of the favor of the Lord.
The year of the favor of the Lord.
We will sing and celebrate. They pass? Okay. Closed my eyes, forgot to ask them to pass. Everybody say, it's my year for open doors. I receive this word in Jesus' name. Nothing can stop what God wants to do if you attach your faith to it. Amen. Listen, before we're going to keep praising, but I want you all to stretch your hands toward Dr. J and let's love on him for a minute. It is impossible. It is impossible to describe Haiti. You just have to be there. And Dr. J stayed there 30 years. He buried a son there. He's given his life for the people of Haiti. And he is a true hero of the faith, a true apostle. And we're honored to be a part of a small part of his journey and his story. Father, we bless our dear friend, Dr. J and Linda, their family, their ministry, their destiny. And God, thank you, God, for 30 plus years of your faithfulness. Lord, look what you've done. You've done a great thing because of the perseverance the bulldog you sent there, God, the Caleb spirit man who would not retreat, who could not be chased away, who would not be intimidated by darkness, who would not be threatened away from his promise, but he stood his ground. And God, I thank you that because he stood his ground, a whole nation is turning. A whole generation, God, is learning and yearning and coming closer to you. God, I thank you, God, as he's even declared these things over us and over his church. A year of open doors, I heard the Lord say, I'm reminding you, son, things that I've spoken to you decades ago, things that I would do in this land, things that I would do through your hand, things that I would do by my command. And you're going to see, son, things come back alive. You're going to see things that you dreamed of come alive. Be presented to your life. I see a large boat, it's like a tanker boat, a huge cargo boat on the ocean. And I saw all those containers somehow were sent to you and under your authority. A great release of resource. The second thing I saw was you were standing on the stage and you had a lighter and holding up a piece of paper, and you lit it, and it was the mortgage of your property. And I heard the Lord say, supernatural, I'm going to relieve you from the entire debt, and you'll be 100% debt free in a short season of time by a miraculous intervention of God. The Lord says, there's going to be a medical, like a small hospital that will grow big into a big hospital, but a hospital's going to come into your territory of rulership, into your periphery of authority, and God's entrusting you. So all kinds of resources are shifting and changing and moving. And I heard the Lord say, just overnight, there's going to be in the capital of the Dominican Republic, there's going to be established a church that's going to carry the same fire and flame. And the Lord says, I'm going to start in capital cities, in different places, different countries, in different islands around you, in different even nations of the world. I'm going to start sending an army of fire-breathing, hell-shaking, heaven-releasing, anointed messengers. And God says something, this crop of leaders is different, son. This crop that you've raised up is a little bit different. They're more with you. They view you as their father. They carry your DNA more than any other time in your ministry. And these ones are going to shake the world. And they've been released from the sins of Haiti and from the strongholds of Haiti by your leadership. And God says, watch what your sons do. Watch what your daughters do in this next move of my spirit. For all the things that are in your heart to do, you're going to watch your sons and daughters begin to do for you. You're going to see an army rise up in the island that's going to be strong and swift and supernaturally led and undefeatable. And God says, look what I'm going to do. And one day the Lord says, I'm going to give you also property in Florida, supernatural property, a property in the Carolinas. And one brief encounter with God, at one season of encounter, supernatural property is coming to you in Florida and in Carolina or some other state. And God's moving on your behalf, releasing more property, releasing supernatural access to the influence those properties will have. God, I thank you for our dear friend, and thank you for his great spirit, his humble heart, and yet the mantle he carries. We bless him and Linda. We bless, God, the beautiful church and the people of Haiti. We send our love to them now. God, we pray your kingdom come, your will be done in their lives. And God, we praise you for what you've done there. And God, we ask you to do the same thing here. Let the fire of heaven come on Phoenix, Arizona, a church for the nations, and consume this country. Let the third great awakening happening in the United States of America. Move by your power. Move by your spirit, God. We celebrate you, God. Come on. This is the year of the open door. Come on.
This is the year of the open door.
The year of the favor of the Lord.
The year of the favor of the Lord.
Come on, somebody. We will sing and celebrate.
We will sing and celebrate.
Five people and high five them and tell them the Lord says to you, this is the year for open doors. Just high five them and just prophesy right there, right at them.
This is the year of the open door.
This is the year of the open door.
Come on, just declare it. Open doors, man. prayer team, would you please join me down front? Prayer leaders, prayer team. My heart's on fire. Your love has set my heart on fire. Prayer team coming down front. Anyone before you leave tonight, if you need prayer for any reason, we want to pray for you. If you're not right with Christ, you've been away from God, or if you're hurting in your body, anything that you need prayer for, we'd be honored to pray for you tonight. Don't leave if you need prayer. God bless you. We're going to have an awesome service here Sunday. But Revolution, can't wait to minister to you. God bless you. High five someone. Tell them, open door, man. Open door. God bless you.
My heart on fire. Your love has set my heart on fire. This is the year of the open door.
This is the year of the open door.
This is the year of the coming of the Lord. My past was sad.